So Sherrod has joked several times, including today. Today is my last day masquerading as a Presbyterian. My car is packed. It's bursting forth with plants. Quinn wants me to announce to the church that the plant I brought about 2 months ago and said I was going to revive and bring back to life, I have actually thrown away because it never did come back to life. So that's for Quinn. And so after the speaker series tonight, I'll head home to St. Louis or to Edwardsville, Illinois, and I guess I will be Lutheran once again. And I thought about when I began this Presbyterian journey, and it actually wasn't with this church. It was in May 2011 when I was hired as the youth intern at First Presbyterian Church in Jefferson City, Missouri. And during my first month, FPC J.C. Moe was focused on launching this new alternative worship service that would take place Sunday nights at 5 p.m. And our senior pastor called this service Sunday Night Live at 5. And our church's graphic designer was busy crafting a logo which imitated another soon-to-be less famous SNL. And the new praise and worship team was busy preparing music for the launch. The session prayed that this service would attract new people to our church. They hoped the service would attract hipster 20-somethings and young families. They were hoping it would make the church fresh and relevant again. And one feature of this service was that there was a free fellowship meal provided each week. And so word of this free meal began to spread across Jefferson City. And 18 months later, our contemporary worship service, designed to attract hipsters and young families, attracted a different crowd, the homeless. And in full disclosure, I didn't work at the church anymore when this shift began because I was studying abroad in South America. But I remained connected with a pastor there, and he explained that the shift began when one or two people experiencing homelessness would come in and eat the meal, and they were welcomed. And so they spread the word, and they began to tell other people, and soon more unhoused individuals came to eat the meal after the service. So some of the members began asking the pastoral team, you know, why do the homeless people come for the free food but don't come to worship? And the pastoral staff kind of wondered this as well. It's kind of a natural inclination. So they asked, right? And the people experiencing homelessness explained that they knew they were welcome for the meal, but they were unsure if people like them would be welcome at the Sunday service, and they didn't want to risk the Sunday night meal. So they hadn't been attending the worship service. The pastoral staff assured them that they would indeed be welcome at the service, but they could also attend just the meal if that's what they preferred. And as trust was built, the unhoused began participating in worship and in the meal. So the service, meant to attract this ever elusive young person, became the church's primary homeless ministry. Right? God works in mysterious ways. And it would have been easy for the folks in Jeff City to turn away those first few homeless folks who attended their meal. It would have been easy for them to grow resentful of these people who come for the free food but don't worship. It would have been easy for the folks in Jeff City to silence God and not consider the ways that God was allowing their church to see a glimpse of the coming reign of God. Not by snagging some hipster, but by welcoming the stranger and providing them with a meal. This was not the service they wanted, but it was the service that God desired. In our scripture reading today, we see that the Church of Acts is also defined by its ability to listen and then enact God's continuing revelation. The Church of Acts, they had a lot of questions. Right? They wondered, for whom did Jesus die? For whom is this good news of Christ? Is it for Jews like us? Is it for Gentiles? Could it possibly be for both? And chapter 11 begins with Peter recounting a vision he receives from God in Acts chapter 10. The vision causes Peter to baptize Cornelius, a Gentile, and Peter's colleagues are criticizing his decision to do this, because Gentiles are not supposed to be baptized. So Peter recounts the dream he received from God to persuade his friends in ministry that God has a new vision. In Peter's dream, something like a large sheet falls from heaven. And if you can picture it, on this sheet, there's all sorts of four-footed creatures, reptiles, birds of the air, prey. And a voice cries out to Peter as he sees all these animals falling from heaven, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And God's command to kill and eat confuses Peter, as it should, and because he knows that Jews are not to eat that which is unclean. So he replies, "By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has entered my mouth." Right, because at the time, Peter must think that God is putting him to the test to make sure he's pure, to make sure he's devout, to make sure he's set apart from the pagan culture which defined the Roman Empire. But Peter has the wrong idea, because God is not testing his purity. God is communicating a new vision. He is testing Peter's ability to hear God's voice and respond. God wants Peter to be the vessel which communicates God's new vision to the world. So God persists and says to Peter, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." Then Peter explains these three men arrive at Peter's house, and the Spirit told Peter not to distinguish between them and us. See, the men are Gentiles and Peter is a Jew. Jews are supposed to be set apart and distinct from their Gentile counterparts, but we have to remember, this ain't no purity test. God has a new vision, and God's new vision calls Peter to follow the Gentile men so that Peter can see that the Holy Spirit falls upon the Gentiles just as it had fallen upon the church at Pentecost. And when Peter sees the Spirit fall upon these Gentile men, it's then that Peter begins to understand God's new vision. Peter remembers that God has called the church to baptize all nations by the power of the Holy Spirit. And upon hearing this vision, Peter's friends in ministry change their mind and declare that God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life. In recounting his vision, Peter begins to act out God's call for his life. He allows others to see a new thing that God is doing in their midst. Right? Peter's encounter with God allows the early church to conclude that God shows no partiality, that in every nation, anyone who fears God and does what is right in God's sight is acceptable to God. God uses Peter to do a new thing, a thing which declares that the gospel message is for all people. God uses Peter to declare that God's grace is for everyone, including you. Today it can be hard to believe that God works in the world, because it feels like our world is falling apart. In the past 2 years, over 1 million people have died from COVID-19 here in the United States. Our lives were forever altered by prolonged periods of closures, mask wearing, isolation. Our national politics have become even more polarizing as social media companies manufacture anger to maximize profits and destabilize our shared sense of civic duty. Right, there's chaos in Afghanistan, there's war in Ukraine, inflation is soaring. And just this week, we learned that there's a shortage of formula for infants. And we last night had another mass shooting where 10 people were killed grocery shopping in Buffalo, New York. It's hard not to believe what December's Atlantic cover story declared when they said, "The bad guys are winning." And in the midst of this turmoil, institutions like the church places which unite communities and provide them with a shared sense of civic identity, that these places are suffering too. That in 2021, church membership fell below the majority for the first time since Gallup started recording data in 1940. That only 47% of Americans belong to a religious institution. And many pastors report that there's 20 to 30% declines in worship attendance since March 2020. These times are challenging for individuals, and especially challenging for individuals who care deeply about the church. But 2022 is not the first time the church existed at the margins. Right? The Church of Acts is a small church struggling to survive. They were a minority within a minority. They are Jews who worship Jesus, and many still are preaching Jesus' gospel inside of synagogues. They had no idea that this minuscule movement would become one of the largest religions in the world. Many in the Church of Acts believed that Jesus was going to come back within their lifetime. And based on our scripture reading, you kind of get the sense that the Church of Acts is winging it. Peter receives a vision, he acts on the vision, people criticize him. You know, how dare Peter allow the Gentiles to be baptized? Then Peter tells this story and boom, Gentiles are welcomed, right? The Church of Acts is out here receiving visions, hearing voices, criticizing each other, arguing, debating. It's really messy, but they are doing the best they can, and they must be afraid that even their best efforts will fail Jesus. And yet, even in the time when the church existed at the margins, the Holy Spirit persists. And God's Spirit still persists today. Just as the Holy Spirit falls on the church at Pentecost, and just as the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentile men in Acts chapter 11, the Holy Spirit falls upon First Presbyterian Church in Lebanon, Tennessee. God's Spirit longs to do a new thing here. And God invites you to take part in this new vision. And you might not know what this vision looks like. You might design a service for hipsters and attract the homeless. You might hire a youth director without knowing that his most important job would be to run online worship during a once-in-a-century global pandemic. As you continue to discern God's vision for First Presbyterian Church in Lebanon, I invite you to be like the Church of Acts. To be like the Church of the Resurrection. In these past 4 weeks, Sherrod and I have had this Church of the Resurrection sermon series, and in each sermon, we have one thing that the Church of Acts does well that we should imitate today. And one of those things is that we should be a church which confesses Christ, that we should keep Jesus at the center of our communal life, that we should confess Christ also by being close to the poor and oppressed and having real relationships with them. That we should confess Christ by offering belonging to all people. We should also be a church which embraces the lost and believes in the power of God to convert those who experience despair. Right? We should not be ashamed of the gospel. Instead, we should be so inspired by Christ's resurrection that we cannot help but go out and share it with others. We should invite people to worship. We should invite people to be baptized. We should seek out those in the community experiencing despair and offer them hope embodied by a loving church community. We should be a church which believes in miracles and enacts miracles, believing that God is still working here, believing that God calls this church to be part of God's larger vision for love and justice in the world. We should do little things which mean the world to others, visiting the homebound, expressing gratitude to the volunteers who make worship a possibility, who make the fellowship meal a possibility, who make all of our ministries here at the church a possibility. We should feed the hungry. We should house the homeless. We should cook that casserole, and we should be a listening ear to people who are experiencing despair. And finally, As the sermon talked about today, we should be the church which takes time to listen for God's voice. Be the church which doesn't allow our day-to-day operations get in the way of leaving a space to plan for what God is doing in the future. Taking time to contemplate the ministries which God is calling you to do right here in Lebanon. Building relationships with others and listening to them and hearing what do they need our church to be doing so that one day all of Lebanon may know the hope of Christ. To hear God's voice, you have to do two things pretty well. Sit and listen, sit and listen, sit and listen. You have to sit and listen by closing your eyes, focusing on God and asking God to speak wisdom into your life. You have to sit and listen by building relationships with the afflicted and giving ear to their stories and creating ministries which address real needs. Right, if we want to be part of God's vision, we have to sit and listen. And it's all that easy, but it's all that hard. Hard to find time in our busy days to just be still. Hard to find time to think about God. Hard to find time to meditate on God. But this is the way we hear God's voice and enact God's continuing revelation in our community. Friends, God works in mysterious ways that we don't understand. Sends the homeless to the hipster service, sends a lifelong Lutheran to Presbyterian churches. And it's been an honor to a partner in ministry with you the past 3 years. It's been an honor to learn your stories and to see how God is using each of you to enact a new vision right here in Lebanon and beyond. I'm so grateful that you've offered me space to make mistakes, to learn, and to become a better pastor. Your encouragement and your affirmation have allowed me to experience the grace and love of Christ. And I'm confident that same affirmation and encouragement will allow others to see the grace and love of Christ, those who desperately need it. I'll close with this verse from Isaiah 43. God declares, "See, I am doing a new thing." God says, "I am making a way in the wilderness. I am making streams in the wasteland." Right? God is doing a new thing today too. God invites you to be part of this vision. This vision which will not only bring you hope and joy and belonging, but that will also bring that same sense to the community. And I hope that you will take the time as individuals and as the church to sit and listen, to accept God's invitation and to be part of God's new vision in your life and in the life of the church. May it be so. Amen.